Hebrews chapter 11 and verse, we're in verse 30.
31.
31, thank you. Verse 31.
Not that I'm counting.
All right, so if you remember the last couple of weeks in verses 29 and verse 30, the highlight wasn't on any individual person. It was actually on the nation of Israel and their faith in crossing the Red Sea as if they were on dry land, and the faith it took for them to just trust in Him, and that great battle plan that Joshua came up with. No, I'm just kidding. The marching around Jericho and the walls falling down. Two just miraculous events. And today we're going to talk about the faith of Rahab, which again is another miraculous event. If we could go ahead and I get somebody to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31.
By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given friendly welcome to the spies.
All right. So if we're going to talk about Rahab, we've got to go back to Joshua chapter 2. And in Joshua chapter 6. And that verse right there basically points us to Joshua chapter 6 first, as by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. That's in chapter 6. Because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And that's chapter 2. If I can get someone to read, we're going to read the backstory, Joshua chapter 2, and let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 14. If I can get somebody to read that for me.
Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land.
All right, thank you. All right, so the first thing we should talk about is why do you think their first stop was to go to the house of a prostitute?
Well, I read a book that was obviously not inspired, but it was a historical book, like a fictional representation of this, and they said that she was waiting for them because she wanted to offer her, not her services, but she wanted to offer a place for them to stay because she was seeking for God, and so she was trying to get in with them.
Right.
To see
okay.
God. So you're saying that you felt not only was she hearing from God, but men heard from God, and that's why they went.
Mm-hmm.
They just heard.
Yeah, that she saw, because her house was on the wall, And so she would have possibly seen them coming, because in her job, she was obviously scouting.
Yeah.
So when she saw them coming, she would have known that they were from the Israelites, and that maybe she wanted to reach out to them because she wanted to know more about the Lord.
Okay, no accident.
Right.
It's also like a profession that, like, you know, you experience the worst of human nature, kind of. And so maybe she was, like, not in line with the leadership of Jericho.
Because she did kind of lie to them to try to protect the spot.
Not quite yet. There's something else missing here, but I can't find it in my brain. But the question about why specifically a prostitute's home has still not been addressed.
Right.
And that's the answer you're looking for.
Right. That's what we're.
Yeah, I don't think it was a matter of the fact that she was a prostitute. The fact of the matter was that she wasn't connected with the leadership. She was something of an outcast.
Yeah, the opposite.
They were most likely to get welcomed by somebody who's already halfway out the door.
Right. I mean,
except for the fact that maybe from the inside, you know, for us to be able to look back and say, God can use anybody, including the lowest of the low. Maybe
right.
From that perspective,
yeah.
You know, it has to be somebody low life.
And
I don't mean low life,
sort of,
you know what I mean?
Right,
somebody at the bottom, this is the bottom person.
Right.
So, from that perspective.
I'm thinking that given that it was at the gate, just from knowing about gates during that time, that's where a lot of dealing happened. Like, you would do it at the gate where they would make agreements with one another. And likely, because of her business, it was likely a place to stay, maybe like a hotel or an inn type place, and that was just an added benefit for the people that they could partake in, I guess.
Right. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just going to say maybe, you know, because we believe that all things that come to pass are divinely appointed by God.
Exactly.
And so, not only I think is it important for us to talk about, you know, why did these two men go to a prostitute's home? But also kind of like thinking about the overall narrative of the Bible, thinking about how, you know, there is great irony in the fact that Israel essentially has, they're indebted to this prostitute, and yet very soon thereafter, you know, the leaders of Israel have disdain and despise prostitutes, and in fact don't show any compassion to them whatsoever. However, you look back in their history, and you see that they're indebted to this woman.
Right.
And yet they show no compassion to people like her.
Right.
Well, and she's in the lineage of Christ.
Yeah.
And on the kings, too.
Very good thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the key is that it was, where this place was on the wall, right? Easy to get in, easy to get out, right? There's probably a gathering of people there, so they can kind of, you know,
blend in.
I'm not quite sure that they actually blended in, because in the very next verse it says, "And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." So they probably, you think they really blended in? Not really, right. They kind of stuck out. And to me, what I was thinking of is how we should be sticking out as well, right? We shouldn't be blended in with the people,
that's good.
The lost people here, right? We should stand out. And I kind of think they stood out, and obviously the king found out that they were there. But again, I don't think the key thing is that Rahab is a prostitute. I think it's easy to get in, easy to get out, scout out the land, gain some intelligence, and leave. However, the king found out that they were there, and how does Rahab protect the spies?
She lies.
With, what's that?
The lie.
With a lie, right? Right. Now, does Rahab get a pass with this? Is it, I mean, is this now, okay?
What do you mean by that?
With a lie, with...
Like, is it wrong?
Right.
No.
So, there is this conversation, I think, especially within the book of Genesis, talking about righteous deception. Like, you know, if you think to yourself, you know, people, I think, very legalistically sometimes say, oh, well, if you were in World War II and you were hiding some Jews, like, if the Nazis came to your door, would you tell them that you were hiding them if they asked? And of course, we know the answer is...
Of course. Yes.
Right. Right.
No. What we know the answer
for? You don't lie.
God is more intended, or he's more interested in the disposition of the heart. And
right.
So he wants mercy rather than sacrifice.
Right.
He wants the protection of innocent people rather than you saying, oh, well, I can't tell a lie because I know that's wrong.
Right.
Like, this just doesn't even make sense.
It's a heart matter.
Right.
Like, what her intentions were righteous.
Right. Kind of goes back to Moses, right? When Moses was a baby, the decree that went out that killed all the firstborn, right?
Right.
And they just went against that decree. And
broke the rule.
They broke the rule. There was a lot of deception to protect Moses. So, yeah, I think you got it exactly right, Tori.
I think you could liken it to today where there are instances where if it goes against God's word, we aren't supposed to follow the law of the land either.
Right.
So,
regarding the question of, like, you know, would you or would you not lie to a Nazi soldier if you were hiding Jews in World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer addressed that, this idea of the will of God. He said that what counts is doing the will of God. And I think you can infer that, you know, the will of God isn't always so cut and dry as what's revealed in the Ten Commandments. That, you know, there's the general will and then there's the special will.
Right.
Which requires knowing God to be able to see what that will is.
Exactly.
There's also, like, a hierarchy of commandments. Like, they ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then the second is love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
And so clearly, like, lying is not number two. Or, like, being 100% truthful, being, like, deceptive is not number two. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think she was showing love. And she was showing
love
for them and the love of God, right? Like, she clearly believes in, I'm going to follow your God and not what these people are doing here. Like, she clearly doesn't agree with what's going on in Jericho. Okay, so we know that, you know, from her profession, where do we see her profession of faith here? That she believes in the Lord.
Yeah.
She says she knows, she sees that the Lord is with them.
Right.
And it said in verse 11, and as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted.
Oh, yeah, 11. Yeah.
There was no spirit left in any man because of you, for the Lord your God. He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath.
Right.
And that kind of makes you wonder, well, surely Rahab wasn't the only one to discern this. Like, they must have known, just given the deeds and how this was going before the Israelites, that this, like, Molech or Baal, these are not real gods. This is the real God.
Right. So they all knew. You were going to say something?
Oh, I was just saying she was hearing the stories of what God had done, and she believed. So it was by mm-hmm. faith. She heard the story about the Red Sea and the defeating of the Amorites, and she believed.
Yes, exactly. And she believed, and she, you know, she was like, okay, she heard the stories, she believed, but she didn't just believe. She showed that she believed by her action. She actually mm-hmm. did something. Right. It provoked action from her.
You know, that sounds so familiar with, because we know that belief alone doesn't get you saved. Okay? Because the devils believe and tremble.
Right.
The well, here's all these people in town who heard all the same stories that she did, and she's looking at it as a very awesome thing. She's recognizing God as somebody that she wants to get to know. And the other people in town are just scared.
Fearful.
You know? And
right.
It's almost the same situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She, what they did action. They shut up the walls. They were like, okay, don't let anybody in or out. Let's, you know, however
and
she.
They were looking for them and they were going to take care of them.
And they were
going to
take care of them. Exactly. Right.
It seems like her respect for God is more than her respect for authority, because she could have gotten herself and her whole family killed if
Absolutely.
She was found out to be harboring them. But she respected and believed in God more than that. So
Absolutely.
To me, that seems like pretty clear. Like it would have cost her something to
Right.
show that faith.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing that I was thinking about is the fact that she heard, they all heard what happened, and this caused her to have faith. Reminds me of Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. I think the King James says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She's heard, she doesn't have the inspired word, she doesn't have the word of God, but she's heard. She's heard what this, what God can do. She's heard about the parting of the Red Sea, as it says here. She's heard all that God has done. And that should make us today think about, we need to be telling people, right? We need to be sharing the gospel. We need to be telling what God is doing in our lives, right? God is still working.
I think Sean, a couple of years ago, preached a sermon on what was sort of accepted as, you know, your life is your testimony, and sometimes you have to use words.
Yeah.
And he debunked it.
Yes.
And he said, absolutely, that is, it's not just people looking at you. You have to use your words and communicate in your, with whatever language you have, because that's how people get it. They get it through hearing the word.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty powerful, because for a long time we go, oh, you know, people just watch me and they know. A lot of good people out there. Clueless.
Right. Yes, you've got to live it out, but you do. Yeah, mm-hmm. You've got to use words. Autumn, you were reading a book that had.
Oh, the quote?
Yeah.
It's,
That's what it was.
Out of 100 men, one will read the Bible, 99 will read the Christian.
Right, yeah.
99 will read the what?
Christian.
Oh, right, so they won't read the word because they're just watching what you do, but what more, but what we say.
It's when we speak up that bad things happen as well as good things, and that's what we're called to do.
Right,
exactly. That's right.
All right. Well, we are out of time. I think there's a lot more that we could talk about Rahab. I was going to ask, is Rahab justified by her faith alone? But we basically talked about that. It was her actions as well. She had faith. She had faith to step out, perform an action, protecting these spies, whatever it took. And in chapter 6, it talks about the walls coming down. It's interesting, these huge walls, all the walls fell flat. However, her family, because of her faith, was saved. That wall, she was protected, and because of her faith, her and her family were protected.
The archaeology supports that.
Yes.
Yep.
That there was a portion of the wall that did not collapse.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. God is able. And not only, you know, they talk about Rahab being a prostitute and everybody looking down on her, however, she's in the book of faith, she's in the hall of faith, and she's also in the genealogy of Christ, as was brought up as well. So, everybody, all this, they owed their lives to her. So, all right, I think that's it. If anybody would like to close us in prayer. Anyone want to pray?
Sure, why not? Father, just thank you for this sweet time of communion and And Father, we thank you for your precious word that we've been able to talk about and share our understanding with each other about. Father, help us to use our words in a good way, in a way that edifies you, glorifies you, honors you. And with that, just guard our tongues today as we move into the world and wherever we're headed. Thank you for being such a great God. And Father, we just hope that we're a blessing today to you. Help us protect our families. There's so many issues going on, but we'll do that, especially when we're separated from them. That's most of us in this room. And again, seal our lips with the things that do not belong there. I think that's it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Just kidding.